The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Let me start with your hate crimes issue. You announced hate crimes resulting in mass casualties would be treated as terrorism. What's that all about?
What that is all about is this nation has to recognize that terrorism has changed. We did the New York State terrorism bill right after 9/11, literally days after 9/11. And for many years, terrorism was almost exclusively defined as an international consequence. Foreign entity trying to influence this government, foreign entity radicalizing American citizens to carry forth their agenda. That was terrorism. And it is terrorism. And it's still alive and unfortunately well. And we're on guard every day. There's a new type of terrorism, and we have to adjust our lexicon. Domestic terrorism, they now use to refer to foreign terrorist activity that takes place on American soil. That's true. There's also domestic terrorism, which is American on American hate. Mass hate crimes has nothing to do with a foreign entity. May have to do with Americans radicalized, but they're radicalized by hate. White supremacists, white nationalists, anti-Semites, anti-Latino. That's the new terrorist threat. We have three times more Americans killed by American terrorists radicalized by hate than any foreign influenced terrorism. And we have to come to grips with that. It is the toxic cocktail of guns and hate. It's not a coincidence that El Paso was aimed at Latinos. It's not a coincidence that there were synagogue shootings. That was anti-Semitism. The Charlottesville shootings, that was anti-African-American. These are all Americans being killed by other Americans, not jihadists, white nationalists. And that is terrorism, and it will be prosecuted as terrorism. And let's start to understand that phenomenon and the scourge in the epidemic that is exploding all around us, Doctor.
So do we need a special session for this, Governor?
No, I'll do this next year. But the law is important and the legislation is important. What's more important is we start to come to grips with it. You know, this is a changing society that changes at such a rapid pace. I think this is a new issue that's exploding that we have to understand and the American people have to understand. Well, politicians will lead. No, not anymore. People lead. And people have to say, we are done with American hate mass murder. This is not who we are. It's not what we are. We won't tolerate anti-Semitism. We won't tolerate anti-Latino.
And is that inclusive, Governor, of school mass shootings on the books right now, which theoretically could require less punishment than a hate crime mass shooting?
In my opinion, any mass hate terrorist shooting should have the maximum terrorism penalty.
Sure.
I don't care if it's an Islamist. I don't care if it's a jihadist. I don't care if it's a white nationalist. It's terror. And that is what we're now dealing with. And the transition to American terrorism. Don't say domestic terrorism is a foreign actor. That's part of it.
Okay.
Domestic terrorism is just pure American. American domestic terrorism. American on American hate combined with guns that nobody should have anyway. An AK-47, high-capacity magazine. That's the new reality that we have to understand and then galvanize public opinion and then address legally.
Now, the president has talked about how this is a mental health problem. You know, he seems to be backing away from the idea of background checks. Mental health problem. Now, New York State, as you know, closed down a long time ago many of its mental institutions. And there seems to be an idea, just from listening to him, and I wrote a dissertation on this, that he's talking the good old custodial mental health. We have to put him away. What do you make of that?
Oh, don't chase the bone, Alan. He knows the issue is guns. The worst line ever was when he got up after El Paso and he said, mental illness pulled the trigger. No, there is no trigger without a gun. The trigger is on the gun. Mentally ill people, seriously mentally ill people, should not have a gun. Of course. But you don't get there unless you do a background check. So you know who's buying a gun. And
but he's folding to the NRA, right? On this.
Well, it was an interesting moment, Alan. He says, I forget what the shooting was, but he's in the White House conference room and he says to the senators, and it's on TV, he says, I don't understand why people need an assault weapon. You can't use it to hunt. Why do they need it? It was like common sense Donald Trump for a moment. The next day, the NRA came in, browbeat him, and he did a 180. He doesn't want to talk about guns. So now it's mental illness. And by the way, even what he's saying on mental illness is bizarre. We should go back to reinstitutionalization. You did the dissertation. We went through deinstitutionalization.
We did.
He's talking about reinstitutionalization. Put them back into big congregate facilities. And he doesn't even know what he's talking about. We used to have mental health facilities. We don't have them anymore. No, we used to have large congregate mental health hospitals where people were treated terribly. In the 60s, we developed humanity and said, let's have community-based residences in smaller populations that are more manageable, et cetera. So he doesn't even know what he's talking about when he's talking about mental health. He's just trying to talk about anything other than guns is what he's trying to do.
I want to switch. You're going upstate, as we say, upstate here, to the fair, to the New York State Fair. And I understand that you've really got a big push on to get other people to go, too. Is that unfair?
When you said unfair, was it a playoff fair or was it just unfair?
It was just an attempt at a question.
Oh, so but when you said unfair, you weren't referring to the state fair and
no,
there wasn't a pun.
No, I didn't say unfair.
I thought it was an attempt at humor, but
no,
I should have
known
that.
No, I would never do that with you.
Okay. The state fair is a great success story, really a beautiful success story. We have record attendance. We had over 1 million people. We've redone the state fair. The state fair was one of the great depressing metaphors for quote-unquote upstate, if you will. I used to go to the state fair. Alan, it was exactly the same year after year after year, just a little bit more deteriorated. And there was such potential there. And it's the state fair, you know, and these are normally celebrated, prideful events. And I would go, and it was just watching a slow deterioration, which was so much of upstate New York. And, you know, I am originally from downstate, but I've invested more money in upstate New York than any governor, probably in history, $44 billion. You'd have to do DeWitt Clinton's Erie Canal in present-day dollars, but I'd probably exceed that. We invested all across upstate, but we also rebuilt the state fair. It's totally different. New entrance, new facilities, new rides, like we did with Jones Beach. It's updated. We built a large convention center to bring in shows because it's a magnificent facility. So I'm very proud of what we've done.
So
this year it's going to be even different. We have another thing this year. Amtrak is running a special train to bring people to the fair. And we've worked with them, and it's going to be a Taste of New York sponsored train ride. So you can get on a train here and go to the state fair because we're trying to build attendance. And as I mentioned before, we already have we had record attendance last year. So I'm going to take the train to the state fair this year.
So isn't I have a cynical question to ask you. You don't mind that, do you?
No, every question you have is cynical.
Yeah, it's true. And isn't it isn't it about, numbers, political numbers? You do better, much better in New York City than you do in upstate New York. So you plow a great deal of money back into upstate New York. You do the state fair. Look, there are cynical reporters sitting around saying, there he goes again, trying to build up those political voter numbers.
Well, look, they can be cynical reporters, but there has to be a dose of reality and fact somewhere, even in the most twisted, cynical mind. Every Democrat tends to get more Democratic votes than Republican votes, and Republicans tend to be more upstate, as we know. From day one, I've made an unprecedented effort in upstate New York. I won the last election with record numbers. Do I do as well upstate New York? No. But look, people have politics and they vote labels, and I get that. My job is represent the entire state of New York and represent the areas that need the most help and give them primacy. Upstate New York needs more help than downstate New York. And I say that in downstate New York. The upstate economy has been suffering for decades, and it was ignored by the state government in Albany, which was predominantly focused on downstate New York. Why? That's where the population is. That's where the numbers are. A lot of other reasons.
Was your father guilty of that?
No, my father, I believe, represented the entire state and took it very seriously. You know, when you are charged with a responsibility in a person, I am the governor of all people in New York State. I don't care if you vote for me, against me. I'm going to break my rear end to help you.
You care whether they vote for you or you against you.
Yeah, but I'm not. Yeah. I am not going to do anything other than my best for every region of the state. And look, state fair. You want to talk about Buffalo and unprecedented investments in Buffalo. True. Or Rochester or Syracuse or the number of the amount of attention we've done in the Adirondacks, which is unprecedented, which thought that they were the stepchild of Albany. So, no, I'm proud of it. But we're going to take the train. I invite you formally come to the state fair with me on the train.
Really?
Yes.
On the train with you?
Yes, it's a nice train ride. We get the sample taste of New York. I'm going to invite the commissioners to come and the team here to come.
Now, that's different. That's different. I was envisioning when you said, I'm going to invite you. I would be sitting there with you. We would be having a Bloody Mary or something like that on the train. We would be talking to each other. Now you're talking about commissioners and everybody else. So you've
come,
diluted
you a New York style taste of New York Bloody Mary.
You have diluted the whole thing. Hey, you're getting together with Ned Lamont this week. Now, how does he compare with ex-Governor Malloy? You've never been known for being, touchy-feely, great friends with other governors. What's this all about?
First of all, that touchy-feely thing, you got to be careful with that nowadays.
Yeah, you do.
This is not the Clinton era where you give everybody a warm embrace, you know. You get into trouble for that now. I've always worked to have good relations with the neighboring governors, whether it's Jersey, Connecticut, your governor, Baker.
He's a Republican, yeah. Republican.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
A good man. I voted for him.
Chris Christie was a Republican, is a Republican. But we do a lot. They're neighboring states. We have many issues in common.
You crossed over the bridge to see Chris Christie? Remember that bridge?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So okay. Governor of Connecticut.
Yeah.
We do a lot with them. They've been very good to us. You know, we have all these storms nowadays. We just went through one. Yeah. We're very cooperative in what we call mutual aid and helping each other with emergency management. And I'm going to bring the governor fishing up to Lake Ontario. Lake Ontario, we're pushing tourism on Lake Ontario because they've had a rough go of it with the high level of flooding. And it is magnificent, and it's a magnificent vacation. And yes, he's coming, and we're going to go. And I brought Tish James, the Attorney General, up and we caught fish. I ate the fish, beautiful salmon. Delicious, by the way, delicious.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this. The last thing on this issue is, are you as satisfied with this governor, Governor Lamont, as you were with Malloy? Can I get a yes or a no here?
No, you can't. First of all, I don't vote for the governor of Connecticut, and I worked with Governor Malloy, and I'm going to work with Governor Lamont. He's relatively new, and let the people of Connecticut judge.
Okay, I need to know, how is the race for president going? And by the way, while you're talking about that, there's a news item, I'm going to write a column about it, that if your friend, Joe Biden, is elected, you would become the chief of staff.
Well, my race for president is not going well, but that's because I don't have a race for president. First, how are the Democrats doing? I think this race so far is a referendum on Trump, and it's going to wind up a referendum on Trump. If the economy tanks and if this recession becomes true, he may as well start packing his bags now, because I think the only redeeming, if there was any possible redeeming rationale, it would have to be, well, Trump was a businessman, knows how to run the economy, the economy's doing well. He flags on the economy, especially if he flags on the economy out of his petulance and arrogance and trade relations. Just start packing, Donald. But I think the Democrats have to draw a sharper distinction. I understand the polls say the issue is health care and this and that. There's a broader issue that is taking place, and I think the Democrats have to step up and understand what it is. The president said, make America great again. The issue is, what do you think America is, and who are we, and what is the soul of America? The last week, again, they said it directly. The Statue of Liberty poem is not what the poem says it says. They have reinterpreted the poem on the Statue of Liberty, which was just a perfect literal statement of what they have done. Hypocritical. You know, the Trumps came through Ellis Island. They didn't come in with bags of money. They made it here. So the Democrats, I think, can raise their argument to a more powerful, substantive, philosophical level. Who are we? And what is going on where we're shooting one another? And all this hate and anti-immigrant, we're all immigrants. We are all immigrants. Scaramucci, the great defender of the president, who is articulate and could come up with a rationale for whatever bizarre act the president took. Now, Anthony Scaramucci says this internal division is too much for even him to stomach, even though he likes the economic policies. I think that is growing. I think it's true. I think it's real. I think Joe Biden spoke to it in a speech in Iowa. I tried to speak to it in a speech on terrorism, because I think the terrorism, this new American terrorism, is a symptom of that illness, this hate mongering. And that's, I think, the real seminal issue here. The president doesn't understand what we're all about. It's what I said at my inauguration. The president sitting in his desk at the Oval Office should turn around and look at the flag and the seal of the United States that said, E pluribus unum, out of many, one. That wasn't a trite statement for a commercial. It was the founding fathers saying, we understand that this is a unique nation and a unique experiment in democracy where we are all from somewhere else. And if we can't find a way to live together, we will perish. It was Martin Luther King. We may have come over in different ships, but we're all in the same boat now. He doesn't get it. He does not get it. They do not get it. Ken Cuccinelli, on what Emma Lazarus said, unless he has some connection with Emma Lazarus, a supernatural connection where she's redefining the poem, he can't even read the words. That's what the Democrats have to speak to. Okay, who are now, we? What are we? What do we believe?
Okay, now everybody wants me to ask you, obviously, about the Fredo comment. First of all, your father used to tell me that he didn't see The Godfather. Have you seen it?
I have seen parts of it. He would not watch it. The Fredo comment, Angelo Vivolo, who's head of the Columbus Citizens Foundation, which is the society in New York State that represents Italian Americans, wrote a letter, I think, to Casey Siler at the Times Union for a column that he wrote on it, which was really ignorant and insensitive.
You mean Casey Siler's piece was ignorant?
Yes.
And insensitive. Yes. I agree with you.
Yeah. In praise of Fredo Corleone. How obnoxious. My father wouldn't watch The Godfather. And then he talks about my father as an Italian-American scholar. My father wouldn't watch the movie because it was anti-Italian. The stereotype is anti-Italian. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, in The Godfather, who are you? Which one are you? Which character are you? You know, the power of these movies. I had a battle with The Sopranos, which again was the same stereotype over and over and over, the Italian thug, the Italian mafia. And
well, there was a mafia, wasn't there?
Oh, you think you're going to get me the way you got my father? You were involved in that.
I did it. I was the one. That's right.
You did do it. I'm not going to fall trap to that one, but a good try.
Yeah, it was.
And when you repeat the negative stereotypes, you are repeating the discrimination. And for Times Union to say, my definition of WAP was wrong because I said that a WAP, I was told, stood for without papers. I was told that by my father. Siler says, well, if you Google WAP, it says something else. First of all, you didn't have a Google in 1940s in South Jamaica. Vivolo writes in his letter, if you ask Italian Americans in New York City what WAP means, they will say without papers. It was a derogatory slang term to delegitimize Italian Americans. You don't belong here. You're a WAP. You're an immigrant. You're an unwashed. You're poor. You don't belong here. You're without papers. Well, if you Google it. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Okay, now listen, I only have 4 minutes left, so I got to ask you really quickly. You made a trip to Israel not that long ago, and now you see, what do you think of Representative Omar and Representative Tlaib being barred from visiting under President Trump's urging?
Just want to finish the one point on this.
Okay.
At this time in American society, where you have Jewish people being shot in a synagogue, and you have Latinos being shot in El Paso, there has to be more sensitivity to these stereotypes and discrimination. It fuels the hate. Italian Americans are not mafia. They're not mafia. Godfather movie, don't you dare liken my family to the family you saw in The Godfather or The Sopranos. Mario Cuomo lived with those rumors of the mafia. They hurt him. They scarred him. Every Italian lives with it. Don't you glorify it. And don't you repeat it. And don't you institutionalize it and say, well, if you Googled it, it's not that bad. You know, I remember there was a discussion, the term Dago, which is another ugly, miserable term, which was, I believe, and my father believed, a Dago was an anti-Italian slur. Somebody says to my father, well, you know, Dago is not really anti-Italian. It's really anti-Latino. It came from Diego. And my father was like, don't you tell me what they meant when they said to me, you're a Dago. They knew I wasn't Spanish. This is all ugliness. And to repeat it, now look, Siler, maybe he's from Kentucky and he doesn't really know New York or he doesn't know the sensitivities of the ethnicity or he's an entertainment reporter and he was enamored with the actors or the actresses or whatever the heck. But it is ugly. And if he didn't know better, the Times Union should have known better than to do that. To quote Don Jr. as a source of Fredo, Don Jr. knew. Yeah. I mean, it was just really disgusting. And I think he should apologize for it. And I'm surprised at the Times Union. And I'm surprised at Rex Smith, who did know better. And I'm surprised at the editors who, at this time of ethnic sensitivity, with so much going on in terms of racial sensitivity and divisiveness and polarization, that they would let that garbage to be written.
Sounds like.
And
sounds
I'm sorry
like,
for being strong, but I have strong feelings on it.
I love it when you're strong. That's why you'll be a very good chief of staff to President Biden.
Say that again, please.
You know, that there's a theory that you're going to be chief of staff to President Biden.
Whose theory is that theory?
I saw it in the paper.
Oh, well, then it must be true. I also saw something
in the paper that said that, you know, the name of the bridge is being changed from the Mario Cuomo Bridge to the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, and that New York taxpayers are paying for that signage to be changed. Is that true?
Okay, let's do one thing at a time. One, I haven't even endorsed in the presidential election officially. You know,
well,
I've worked very closely with Joe Biden for a lot of years, and he's been very good to New York. And Joe Biden gave a speech, I believe it was Iowa, last week, that spoke to what I believe is going to be the issue that beats Donald Trump. He doesn't know what America means. I have no plans to leave as governor of New York. I think I'm doing a good job. I hope the people of the state believe that. And that's my plan. The name of the bridge is the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge in the legislation. The old name was the Tappan Zee. They were changing the signs over a period of time to conform with the new name, also with these navigational devices which they use. The I did not know. Apparently, they made a mistake on some signs, which I did not know about, and they went and they left out an initial, and they went back and overlaid an initial in the middle of the name, which is a situation I didn't know about. But the technical name is Mario M. Cuomo. My father was never really big on middle initials, so...
Me neither. Governor, first of all, it's very nice of you to come on and to take, you know, whatever inadequate questions I throw at you.
And, oh, no, they are probative and cynical. Yeah. And edgy. I appreciate and respect all of that.
And we love having you on, and we hope that you'll come back, because it's always better when you're here than when you're not here. You know what I mean?
I want to know why you won't come to the state fair.
Who told you I wouldn't go to the state fair?
So you'll come?
I didn't say
that either.
Yes or
no? Yes or no? You know how you do that to me? Yes or no? Will you come?
No.
Well, at least you answered.
It's great talking to you, Governor. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Alan. Bye.